I'm Sean Crawford. There's a lot of debate these days over a plan to move Illinois to a graduated income tax system. It would have those who earn above a certain amount pay higher rates. But what many probably don't know is that Illinois had a graduated tax for a brief period. And for Illinois Issues this week, the columnist Charlie Wheeler joins me to tell the story of how it happened and why it went away. Charlie, we're going back to the early 1930s here. The governor was Lewis Emerson. He was a Mount Vernon Republican. What led to his decision to seek a graduated income tax?
Well, I think you have to look at what was happening on the national level, or internationally, I guess, at that time. That was right after the crash in the 20s. The Great Depression was underway, and the economic climate in Illinois was horrendous. There had also been, well, at that time, the state derived most of its revenues from a property tax on real estate, land and buildings, and on personal, tangible property that people owned. So, for example, in the case of a family, it would be the automobile, if they had one. It would be the clothes. It would be the food in the pantry. It would be the furniture. For a business, it would be its inventory. It would be whatever vehicles it might have. It would be the office equipment, the file cabinets, the tables, the typewriters, all of that stuff. And it was supposed to be assessed uniformly. And as a matter of fact, the property tax actually predated Illinois. The territorial legislature of Illinois imposed a property tax. And what happened, kind of coincidentally, there had been a massive reassessment of all property in Cook County, and the assessment had delayed property tax bills going out for a couple of years. And so, as the governor noted when he proposed this tax to to a joint session of the legislature in late 1931, very few people set aside reserves to cover the taxes, and now suddenly we have the Depression and they don't have the resources. So the money wasn't coming in. He had appointed a commission, one of the several commissions he appointed, to study the situation. They came back with a recommendation. They recommended that there be an income tax. Quoting here from the report, "The fairest distribution of governmental burden yet devised has been accomplished by the federal income tax, which had been in place at that point for a few years. The production of revenues at the expense of those best able to bear the burden." And so that was his committee's recommendation. It proposed this graduated income tax, the theory being that an income tax would measure the wealth of someone that was not embodied in tangible things like land, automobiles, furniture, but kind of what was referred to in one reference as being kind of the hidden wealth that we don't know about. But the income tax would cover it. And we had a scramble because not only did we have the ordinary expenses of state government, but there were many efforts to provide relief for people who were suffering under the Depression.
Charlie, it's hard to imagine this being at a time when the Great Depression is happening, that state politicians would move to do something like implement an income tax.
Well, I think part of it was, as I said, the assumption was that if you're out of a job and you're going to lose your home, you have no income in the first place. On the other hand, with a property tax, you're out of a job until you lose your home. You're responsible to pay the taxes on it. The idea being that people who were fortunate enough to still be working, still having an income, would be the ones who would bear the burden of this tax. Plus, people who had assets that weren't taxed under the property tax would be contributing, in the words of the report, they'd be doing their share of the burden.
So the need is shown, but he still has to sell this, not only to the public, but to lawmakers as well.
Interestingly enough, his commission that recommended this was made up of people who were, I guess, the movers and shakers of the time, including business interests, and they saw this as a better deal for them, I think because, as I said earlier, if a business is not making a profit and has no income, they'd have no liability. But all their manufacturing equipment, their real estate, that would still be subject to the property tax. And I should point out that the proceeds from this new graduated income tax were all going to be going to pay for it, local school costs, with the idea being that then the property taxes that supported schools could be abated somewhat. It was seen also as property tax relief. And some of the opposition during the legislative session that finally enacted that was along the lines of, look, we have to do something to relieve property taxes right away. We don't have time to mess around with a brand new type of tax. Let's do something to reduce the impact of property taxes, particularly on homeowners who have no means to pay the property taxes and are in danger of losing their homes.
Well, a few months after it gets through, it winds up going to courts, and eventually it's thrown out because saying that it is unconstitutional. And so what happens after that?
Well, Governor Emerson signed the bill on February 22nd of 1932. In October 22nd of 1932, the Illinois Supreme Court ruled without dissent that it was unconstitutional. And they based their ruling on the 1870 Constitution, which said the legislature could impose taxes. It can provide revenue as may be needed by levying a tax by valuation, so that every person and corporation shall pay a tax in proportion to the value of his, her, or its property. And the court said, well, income is property, and it requires, the Constitution says property has to be taxed on a per value, ad valorem basis, in proportion to the value of the property. So you can't have a law that applies different tax rates to different levels of income. That's just totally unconstitutional. In November of 1932, it was on the national level pretty much a Democratic landslide. We elected Franklin Delano Roosevelt to be the president. In Illinois, Henry Horner was elected governor. And Governor Horner, and with sizable Democratic majorities in the legislature, and Horner proposed what we call today the sales tax, replacing the property tax, the statewide property tax. I believe the last levy of a statewide property tax was in 1932, and Horner rescinded it. So the state has not received a penny of property taxes for 80-some years.
So, Charlie, we had a graduated income tax for a very brief period in law. That gets overturned, again, in the early 1930s. We go about 37 more years till we finally get an income tax in the state of Illinois, and that was a flat tax, and which is what we still have today, a flat tax system. Why did it take so long?
Well, I think one of the reasons it took so long was that the state really wasn't in dire financial straits for much of that time. As we got closer to the, or were in the 60s, moving through the 60s, there were several sessions, including a couple of special sessions, in which the legislature had to increase the sales tax rate because the state was having problems meeting its obligations, particularly in the area of welfare. Programs that were in place to help people who were down on their luck were costing more than what the people who did the budgeting had anticipated and what the revenues were sustaining. And there was also a desire to pump more money into local schools to help reduce property taxes, which I guess is 50 years later, we still have that ambition. And so during the campaign, the 1968 campaign, the Republican candidate, the Cook County Board President Richard Ogilvie, and the Democratic incumbent Sam Shapiro, who had been elected lieutenant governor in 64 with Otto Kerner as the governor. Kerner had been named to the federal bench as a judge, and Shapiro succeeded him. They really didn't make a big issue of the state's revenue condition as they were running. From what I read and from talking to people who were, there was kind of a general consensus among the Ogilvie camp and the Shapiro partisans, whichever guy won was going to have to bite the bullet and probably propose an income tax. So Ogilvie wins, and as a matter of fact, on April 1st of 1969, in an address to the General Assembly, he lays out the reasons why he thinks we need an income tax. And there was still doubt about whether or not you could actually do an income tax. It was pretty clear you could not do one with a graduated rate. That legislation passed, was signed into law, immediately challenged, And within a matter of weeks, the Supreme Court ruled that it was valid. It did not violate the Constitution. And then maybe another couple weeks later, they came out with an opinion that said, in essence, income is not property. It happened in the run-up to the 6th Illinois Constitutional Convention, which first met in December of 1969, and then met throughout the first 9 months of 1970, finally agreeing to a revenue article that basically ratified what the Income Tax Act provided. In other words, that we could have an income tax, but it had to be at a flat rate, or as the Constitution said, at a non-graduated rate. Now, there was some debate, some interest in the Constitution, in the Revenue Committee, and also on the floor of allowing a graduated income tax or freezing the level for personal income. Despite interest in it, it was never incorporated into the final document, which the voters then ratified in late 1970, and that's the Constitution that we have today.